Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, and Monumental Sports Network on the TV side. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junk's. Brian Baldinger coming up at 720, so that's right around the corner. Time now to hit the skins. That's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Grab a 12-ounce can. Grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies to score 10% off. And remember, Don't Sleep makes you great.
So we got a game this weekend, Cakes.
Correct.
It's been a weird week because we did two shows and day off. Mm-hmm. But coming off their four straight win, which clinched a playoff berth, you have New Year's Eve. Now you start gearing up for the next game. Final games against the Cowboys. So where do the Commanders stand in terms of injuries? Yesterday, because of the wind, they had a walkthrough. They called it a jog through inside the bubble.
Okay.
Here's your status on some of the players who are banged up. Remember, they had two offensive linemen, Tyler Biadasz and Cornelius Lucas, banged up in that game. Biadasz didn't practice. Lucas and Andrew Wiley, groin, neither even showed up to the jog through.
Okay.
So their offensive line, they're dealing with some injuries. Marshawn Lattimore, still not practicing. I don't want to do, this would be, if it continues like this for the rest of his career and it's early, like let's say this happens next year, it's Marshawn play no more. He just doesn't play very much,
like
right?
It. Like that, yeah.
He did play in one game against the Saints, then he got injured again in the next game. Supposedly, he's not going to play until the playoffs at the earliest.
Well, yeah, there's if you can find a bet, if you can find a book that takes a bet, will Marshawn Lattimore play against the Dallas Cowboys, you would bet all of your life savings on no. Now, nobody's going to offer the bet because he's not going to be playing.
Apparently, he was doing speed drills on the side. Safety Tyler Owens is dealing with an ankle. Jordan McGee, the linebacker, is dealing with a hamstring. They both missed last week's game, but their status now is limited. And then De'Ami Brown also dealing with a hamstring. He missed the Falcons game. He's still out. So they're dealing with injuries. They're going to play the Cowboys. Just to kind of get you up to speed on this game.
Good injury news. Austin Eckler, full participant.
I was going to get to that.
In his return to practice on Wednesday.
Yes,
so that's a good thing.
They opened the 21-day practice window. Huge for them to have him back on the field in 11 games this season. Four touchdowns on 355 yards rushing. 33 catches for 346 yards. And then you kind of sleep on him on kick returns. Now, people are liking what they're seeing from Luke McCaffrey on kick returns, but Eckler was averaging 31.3 yards on kick returns.
That's a healthy number for one Austin Eckler. Hopefully he's good to go after suffering that scary second concussion. I can't remember what game that was in. Maybe the Pittsburgh game? I'd have to double check that.
So to kind of get you up to speed on this game coming up on Sunday, they take on the Cowboys. That means they're going to face Cooper Rush. Cooper Rush, do you know his record against Washington Commanders, Cakes?
I do not.
2-0. Against the Commanders, he's completing 66% of his passes. I think this is a pretty good touchdown interception ratio. 5-0.
That is. That's pretty solid. Though his hopefully he has a performance much like what he did against the Eagles, where he threw two picks, he completed just about half of his passes, and threw for well under 200 yards.
We started to talk about this on Tuesday, and if you want to chime in, it is Open Line Thursday, presented by Window Nation. Search for new windows and doors. Search windownation.com. Their doors are measured to fit the first time, and their windows. And installed by experts to last, Window Nation, for your home, because it's where you live. They say they're going for the sixth seed. So
I kind
of could rest your starters and don't care, but do you want that momentum to continue? December, they were 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
4-0 in December. So do you want to hand it to Dallas, keep it going? A couple meaningful things, maybe meaningful. Terry McLaurin's chasing history for himself. He only had one catch for 5 yards last week. But McLaurin has one. If McLaurin has one touchdown reception against the Cowboys, it'll set a new franchise record with 13. He tied Ricky Sanders' 36-year-old record earlier this season.
Speaking of, I'm glad you brought up Terry McLaurin. Valdez brought this up yesterday. I think when Jason comes back, I'm guessing he's back Monday. I don't know that for sure. I think I am going to basically be able to buy a new house with all the winnings from my Terry McLaurin bets from before the season.
He's made you look very good. hat tip to Jaden Daniels on that one.
Certainly. I don't care how it happened. I'm just glad that Terry hit all those benchmarks that that I was aiming for before the season started.
So if he gets one more TD, new franchise record with 13.
Yeah.
McLaurin also needs 184 receiving yards. Now that's a big amount of yardage.
That's a big ask.
To get to 6,500 yards for his career, needs 177 yards to pass Hall of Famer Bobby Mitchell for fifth all-time in franchise history. So he is climbing the ranks. Speaking of ranks, where do you think Washington ranks amongst toughest places to play? 111 NFL players rank the toughest places to play.
Well, it can't be. It
all right,
can't
your
be
top three.
High.
Is Washington the top three?
Can't be.
Who are your top
impossible.
Three? Who are your top three?
Top three tough places to play. I'm going to guess Arrowhead is on that list.
That's one.
All right.
That actually was number one.
Number one. I'm going to say Highmark Stadium, home of the Bills. I think that's
not in the top tier.
No, it's not. Okay.
You're sleeping on Drab. This is a clue.
The 12th.
Yes.
Lumen Field.
Seattle, number two. And then
who's number three?
If you say the motto, I mean, I don't know if that's the right word. If you say the motto, EB is going to say, I don't even know what that is.
Okay. The motto for, Skol.
How many times do you think EB said, I don't even know what that is?
I can ask him every day from now until we stop doing the show, what team does the Skol chant? And you just come up empty.
By the way, I don't know if we should say this or not. EB was supposed to come to the party, but and he can talk about it when he comes. I think he comes back on Monday. Jason, like, because remember he did that Thanksgiving wraparound?
Yeah, sure.
Drab, you can speak on this because he has to deal with this nightmare of dealing with vacations and everything and setting it all up.
Sure.
But I think because he did like an extended Thanksgiving,
yeah,
and he never really went anywhere in the summer, he was going to basically take 1 week of work and then be back on vacation for Christmas.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, why don't I just push that Christmas thing back? I feel like he's not going to be back next week.
Yeah, he may not be. I don't know.
Jason will be back midweek.
Okay.
He's taking a few more days. I told him, look, the Commanders are in the playoffs.
Right.
We need you here.
Right.
You can figure out your days later on.
Got it. All right. So midweek, Jason Bishop. We'll see him return.
All right. So tier two hostile environments includes the Bills.
Right.
The Eagles.
Okay.
And the Saints.
Okay. The Superdome can get pretty loud if the Saints are good. They haven't been good for a while, but I can understand that.
Tier three, toughest places to play, Denver, Green Bay,
no love for M&T
Pittsburgh.
Bank. What about M&T Bank
in it's
Baltimore?
It's in there, Detroit, Baltimore, okay. Cleveland. So
right.
Some of it is altitude, for example, or noise and tradition. Point is, Washington, they're not in the mix. And there's an entire division that did not qualify for toughest places to play in the NFL.
What division's bad and Oh, I know. I think I know.
All right.
The AFC South.
Yes. Tennessee, yeah. Jacksonville, Houston, who'd Indianapolis.
Who would be intimidated going to play at Tennessee or Jacksonville? The answer is nobody.
Since 2021, visiting teams have a 56.3% winning percentage against AFC South teams.
Wow, that's pretty high.
In contrast, AFC North has been the hardest division to play with a 38.7% winning percentage for visiting opponents. I mean, a lot of that is because of the teams. So, wanted to kick this around with you for a moment. CBS Sports had a New Year's resolution bit for each NFL team. So, I have what they have for Washington. I think I may have told you.
Yep.
And you can chime in at 800-636-1067 if you've got a resolution for the Commanders for 2025. Theirs is get younger around Jaden Daniels.
I mean,
and
I
think
I like
that makes
young
sense
to the roster
generally, because Peters came in and he's done an amazing job as the GM, Adam Peters, and he added a lot of veterans, a little bit older. Some have been fantastic to bolster defense that was the worst the NFL now in the top 10, like Bobby Wagner, but he's an older guy. And you look at some of the talent they brought in, it's not super young. So you would think that that's what they will try to do. So, you know, find some young players that are going to grow and develop with Jaden Daniels.
Certainly. I mean, you look at, I kind of sleep on the fact that Terry McLaurin is already 29 years old. Like, I look at Terry and I'm like, well, he's probably 25 or 26. And you don't realize how long he's been in the league.
Twice.
How productive he's been.
That's why he's moving up the charts in the historical charts for Redskins Commanders history.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the other guys in that wideout room. Oz is 27. KJ Osborne is a guy they picked up off the street. He's 27. Those guys aren't going to be like real players in the future for this team.
Zach Ertz, who's been great.
He's been really good.
Is a veteran who's been around forever. So I think that's a fair resolution for the Washington Commanders to try and get younger around Jaden Daniels. I actually think both sides of the ball. By the way, I didn't update this. So they got rid of Fedarian Mathis. We talked about that.
Second round pick.
Didn't have much production here. I mean, he played in 22 games, battled injuries the first year. How many tackles do you think Fedarian Mathis had in 22 games as a member of the Washington Commanders?
22 games, Fedarian Mathis. Well, I'm going to guess it's well under double digits. I'm going to say he had 6 tackles.
No, it's more than that. It's 25.
Okay.
But about one a game.
Right. It's not great.
And I don't think he had any sacks or forced fumbles or anything. You know, I might have missed a stat, but
going back to a guy who's still on the roster who was invisible this year, I'm sorry. I need to see more out of Ben Sinnott in year two. I mean, that was a second round pick, and I understand Zach Ertz has been like the veteran presence, a guy that Jaden can lean on. Ben Sinnott has 5 catches this year. 5. I'm sorry.
He's the third tight end, Cakes.
You need more production out of your second round pick than 5 catches in a year.
Well, when they move on from Zach Ertz, and I'm not saying that's going to happen next season.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he's ready to step in and be a good receiving threat.
Don't tell me, well, he's a great blocker. You didn't draft him in the second round to be a great blocker.
That's Bates' role.
Yeah, you draft those guys to catch about 40, 50, 60 passes.
So do you agree with their resolution? They need to get younger around Jaden?
Absolutely. Bringing some young, fresh blood to help out the Commanders in 2025 and beyond. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. Go around the NFL with him. And don't forget, in the 8 o'clock hour, Nick Dowd joins us from the Caps. That's at 8:25. So we're hoping to be joined by Brian Baldinger in just a bit, Odyssey NFL insider. Hopefully he joins us soon. So after I busted the tournament last night, I had a moment of weakness.
You busted around 10:30?
I busted like 10:30-ish, you know, about 15 spots out of the money. No real threat. Scored 1 bounty. I mean, it's just very mediocre performance. But anyway, I'm heading back to my room, and I couldn't fend off the gift shop. I had to walk into the gift shop in Valdez. I got quite the double dip combo. I had Haribo gummy bears and a Stella Artois tall boy.
Sounds elite.
I know that you had a beer. that was my nightcap. So I went up to my room, turned on the TV. I sat down and I cracked open that Haribo bag and I washed it down with, I don't know if it's an 18 or 20 ounce Stella. It was a healthy one. And then I had to get up and pee like three times in the middle of the night.
I was thinking about you.
What a night.
I think this is after you left the New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
Maybe it was while you were there, mm-hmm. but I'm going to pose kind of a hypothetical because maybe you missed it. So at one point, I don't know how many people came. The RSVPs was like 66.
Yeah.
Some people didn't come. Mm-hmm. Let's say between 50 and 60 people were there. At one point, the kitchen was like really crowded in the family room, right? But then it like thinned out, and I was like, did all these people leave? It wasn't the case.
Okay.
They all went out to the deck and were smoking cigs.
Hold on. Cigs and not cigs. Like cigars?
Not cigars.
Really?
Cigarettes.
Hmm.
It was probably about 10. I was like, because by the way, it rained.
Yeah.
Right? We were going to set up the outside. We have an awning.
Mm-hmm.
And then it starts pouring, right? As I'm like setting things up.
Yep.
Luckily, I had the food out. I'm just, maybe we'll kick that around later. I'm curious. If you had seen that, been tempted, because back in the day, Cakes drinks a couple pops, he's going to get the cancer stick.
Sure. That's something that I did. I'm not proud of it. We are joined now by our friend and Odyssey NFL insider, Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. What's up, Baldy? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, man. I'm looking at your Twitter, at BaldyNFL. I'll give you props. You have this from 14 hours ago. It's a Happy New Year's tweet, and it's you free diving, and you dive down to the bottom of, I guess this is the Atlantic Ocean, I'm guessing, and you're on a coral reef, basically, and there's like eight lobsters hanging out underneath the coral reef. How often do you encounter the lobsters when you're free diving, and how long can you hold your breath when you're down there?
Well, I'm kind of a piker, you know, when it's holding my breath. I'm not happy with it, but like a minute and 15 seconds, you know, I mean, I can't believe I can't do it for 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes the way most good free divers can.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's it's lobster season down there in Florida right now, so I found a good little rock, you know.
Yeah, and, you did.
Yeah, those little bad boys are, you know, have been captured and are being made into all kinds of different, you know, varieties of lobster, bisque, and
Baldy, I don't think you have anything to be ashamed of. Like maybe in the free diving community, a minute or a minute and a half isn't great, and like in the Navy SEAL community, they'd laugh at that number because they can hold their breath forever. But I think like in this room, I don't think there's any chance any of us can hold our breath for a minute 30. No chance.
Yeah, but it's just technique. And, you know, just when you think you can't hold your breath any longer and you feel like you're just going to burst, that's when the dive begins. So it's a mental thing. So, I'm just not there yet. I got to get a little stronger, a little tougher in my technique.
Okay, if you say so. You're a stronger man than I am. Speaking of technique and getting stronger and playing NFL football, where do you come down? I think I know where you're going to answer this. Where do you come down on how much do you play your starters as we get into playoff season? Like, there was a lot of speculation that Dan Campbell would rest a bunch of his starters against the Niners. Didn't happen. He played Jahmyr Gibbs and Jared Goff and J-Mo and all those guys the entire game. How do you think that translates to what Dan Quinn does this weekend? I know that he's gone on record saying, look, we have the sixth seed. We don't want to give that up. Do you think Dan Quinn plays his starters throughout in the game against the Cowboys?
Every situation is different. You know, if I was Dan Quinn, I wouldn't. I would get ready for whoever the first round, whenever that game is, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I would get ready for that game. I know what the Eagles' stance is this weekend against the Giants. They're going to rest their guys. Saquon obviously has a chance to go for Eric Dickerson's rushing record. That's not enough to get those guys rested. You know, the Kansas City's, they play Denver this week. They're not going to play their guys. That's a long stretch to be the number one seed, not play week 18, not play week 19, not play until week 20. That's a pretty big gamble right there to take that much time off, but that's kind of what the direction they're going. For Washington right now, they just can't afford any kind of an injury to, you know, whether it's Jaden right now or to McLaren or to Zach Ertz. Those, they need those guys, I think, wild card weekend.
One of their problems defensively all season long has been stopping the run. When you get this deep in the season, it's great to get John Allen back. Is there anything they can really do? Because running backs just gouge them.
Yeah. No, it's been a problem. It's been a problem. You know, they play a reduced front, meaning they cover up the center and the two guards. And, you know, they've got Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvo. I think they've started every game together this year. You're looking for some safety help. But, you know, the bodies up front are what they are. They're not a real big defensive front. They're more of pass-rushing-type guys, including Jonathan Allen, including De'Ron Payne, and, you know, Johnny Newton, some of the guys that are there. That's who they are right now. And last year they were the worst pass defense in all of football, and nobody was really close. They gave up 39 passing touchdowns a year ago. They've improved significantly. So, you know, they just need, you know, I think they are what they are at this point. If teams are going to try and pound them in the run game, that's what they're going to have to live with. They're going to have to, you know, score four touchdowns, 28, 30 points probably to beat anybody in this first round.
So let's talk a little bit about Jaden Daniels. I know that on Instagram and maybe on Twitter you had put out some videos, maybe it's a week ago after the Eagles game, about Jaden being clutch. Well, he did it again. Is he getting better? There was a three-game stretch where they played really good teams that they lost, but they've won their last four, and in each of these games, his legs have really come into play. He's been their leading rusher for three games. What are you seeing from Jaden?
Well, you know, he got hurt against Carolina, and it was pretty significant. He played the following week and didn't miss time, but I think he was, you know, significantly impaired in some of those games. But I think, you know, the guy is just electric when it comes to running. I mean, he's his burst and his decision-making last week, you know, in overtime against Atlanta, like, he didn't try to slide. He was head first. He was trying to gain every amount of yardage that he possibly can. And so I think he ran for 42 yards in overtime alone just on that drive, where whether it was a design run, which some of them were, or whether it was just a scramble, which some of them were. I mean, to do what he did was amazing. And then the thing that I'm always amazed at, guys like Jaden or even Lamar, a couple other guys, Jalen Hurts, these guys don't, like, most of the time when you throw the ball, you're throwing it with your legs. And if you're fatigued, you're just not going to be very good at it. You're not going to be accurate with the ball. These guys can run the way that they run, yet still throw it accurately and put the ball where he needs to, including that, you know, the winning touchdown pass to Zach Ertz was a perfect throw. And anything less than that, they probably don't score on that 3rd-and-2. So it's just remarkable the level of conditioning that he has, but his decision making is just it's beyond elite. It's incredible what the decisions he does and what he sees and where he puts the ball right now.
Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So, Baldy, the Commanders' opponent is the Cowboys. Their season has gone sideways. They're 7-9. They're guaranteed to finish with a losing season. Do you see Mike McCarthy coming back to coach the Cowboys in 2025? And if you were the GM, how do you fix the roster going forward? It seems very top-heavy with Dak Prescott. Hopefully he's back from that hamstring injury. CeeDee Lamb's their top offensive weapon. They don't have a lot beside him in the passing game. What do you do to fix the Cowboys going forward?
Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to get Micah Parsons signed. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, you know, part of they can't let him hit free agency next year. So they've got to get that taken care of. So I don't know, you know, if they know how to handle a cap, because they certainly let the Philadelphia Eagles just sign every key free agent in the world, become an elite team this year. And to see what Washington did when they did what they did in free agency, like, they got to figure this thing out. I mean, they just released Ezekiel Elliott. It made no sense to sign him anyways. They signed Dalvin Cook. That made no sense. Like, they didn't address the roster in the offseason when they had to. And so now, whoever coaches that team, whether it's Mike McCarthy or not, the roster isn't competitive enough to go win big games and be a top-tier team. They had won 12 games for 3 years in a row. Now, they got bounced out of the playoffs. against teams that had better rosters and were better coached. So you can fire the coach, you can go in a different direction, but you know, they got to figure out how to build a roster right now. It's not, I mean, they're playing three young guys in the offensive line. That's fine. Some of them are worthy of being future installments in that positions, and some of them aren't. And they have to address that across the board. They're not good enough at defensive tackle to slow down teams that can run the football. So they do have some roster rebuilding to do, whether it's with Mike McCarthy or not.
Talking to Brian Baldinger. Baldy, you mentioned the Chiefs resting their guys. If you were to handicap the AFC, there's three teams obviously at the top with KC, and then you think about Buffalo and Baltimore. But is there another team in there that you think that can make a run in the playoffs and get to the Super Bowl?
Well, if Cincinnati gets in, I don't know that anybody, including Buffalo, that would probably see him in the first round. I don't think anybody wants to see Cincinnati the way Joe Burrow is throwing the football right now. He's practically flawless. And so they're capable of putting, like they did against Baltimore this year a couple of times, they're capable of putting up 38 points against a team like Baltimore. I think they're capable of putting up, you know, 28, 30 points against Kansas City if they would see him. That's now they've got they need to win on, you know, against Pittsburgh, and they need a lot of help. So, they're on the outside looking in, but if they get in, that could be a very dangerous team in addition to the three that you just mentioned.
Hey, Baldy, how many tens of millions of dollars has Sam Darnold made for himself in his future earnings with the year that he's put up in Minnesota with 35 touchdowns, just 12 picks? Look, he'll have a game or two where he'll throw some bad picks, but, I mean, he's going to finish with, like, close to 40 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's been awesome, and you know, the team is really, really good. And Kevin O'Connell, to me, is the coach of the year. But I don't, you know, I remember talking to the general manager of Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, and he was addressing the situation with me. He said he doesn't have to do anything right now. They can let this thing play all the way out. But I know Sam Darnold doesn't want to go anywhere else. He doesn't have to go through what he did in, you know, New York or Carolina or any place. Like, he'd like to stay there. I know they've got J.J. McCarthy, and that's fine. But maybe, I think he wants to stay in Minnesota. I think he really likes it. He likes the team. He loves the coach. Everybody loves the coach there. So I don't think he wants to go anywhere, but, I mean, there's going to be a bidding war for him if Minnesota lets him, you know, test free agency. And to your point about tens of millions, they just threw, I don't know, $180 million at Kirk Cousins. He'd get a whole lot more than that. So, you know, there's five or six teams that would really bid on Sam Darnold if he gets outside of that building in Minnesota.
You know, you mentioned Kirk. Does he find a home next season outside of Atlanta? And what about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think Kirk can find a home. He could be a bridge quarterback, but I think if you look at his last five games, this wasn't a slump. I think this is who he is right now. Unless his legs just get a whole lot better than they were. The last game he played was against the Raiders. He was immobile in that game and could not get away from any kind of a rush. And that might mean another year of healing from that Achilles injury that he had. So we'll see. But I think he's got a chance. I just don't see teams taking a chance on Aaron Rodgers at this point. I mean, he hasn't been good this year. The Jets are going to go in a different direction. And I can't see a team bidding on a 42-year-old quarterback right now in any kind of capacity. And the way that he has played, he's really labored and struggled to move. He can't put the ball where he wants to put it right now. He's not elevated anybody in that New York team right now to play at a higher level. Now, the offensive line was awful last week, and that, you know, that's not fair to any quarterback. But, you know, 16 games in right now, you'd say, why would you invest in Aaron Rodgers at this point? You're not investing in anything that we have seen in the past or his history, which is illustrious. But at the same time, he's not that player anymore.
Baldy, where do your travels take you this weekend? What game are you covering?
I'm going to go see that Jets-Miami game, because if Miami wins and Denver loses, they're in the playoffs. So both those games are at 4:25. We'll be scoreboard watching up in New York or, you know, at the Meadowlands. And we'll see. You'll see if Miami can pull through, win a game in, you know, 25-degree weather, which they've been unable to do. And see if Kansas City somehow can upend Denver with Carson Wentz and whoever else they play.
All right, Baldy, safe travels. We'll talk to you again next week, man. Always great catching up with you. Thanks again.
You got it, guys. Take care now.
Yep, enjoy. That was Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger. He can hold his breath for like 90 seconds underwater. It's very impressive.
Should we have a contest at some point?
I mean, it sounds like a perfect sort of junks contest.
Now, if we do it, the other person has to talk.
That's true. It's a very good point.
So better have some content.
Brian Baldinger is the host of the Best Football Show podcast, Insider Calls. Brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Don't forget, coming up at 8:25, we'll talk Caps with Nick Dowd from your Washington Capitals.
We didn't know if Baldy was going to call, and I brought up the people at the party.
Yeah.
It all of a sudden seemed less crowded, and I realized they'd all gone on the deck to smoke cigs. And cakes used to be, all right, there was a little period of time when he smoked cigs on the reg.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's when he was like, college, Toys R Us manager.
Yeah.
You get your smoke break, right? Break?
Anything to get away from the drudgery of retail work.
Right.
I would take it. I would take that time to go. Now, this is so long ago. You could still smoke inside the building.
You could smoke inside Toys R Us.
We could go into the break room, which was upstairs, which was near literally 10,000 cardboard boxes that couldn't have been more flammable. So you're allowed to smoke up in the break room. Now, I would tend to go outside and smoke my death sticks like outside of the building.
You're classy.
Because I'm classy and I just wanted to get as far away from work while still being at work. It's that sort of deal. So I would go smoke like out on the corner right near like, I don't even know what road that is in Annapolis, right across from Annapolis Mall.
Right.
I'll just be smoking in my short sleeve dress shirt with my name tag, just feeling like the world's biggest loser.
So you were a smoker for a while, but I would say that you then transitioned into a guy who was not a smoker, but who would bum a cigarette, particularly at junkies' appearances during probably the first 10 years of our show.
From time to time. But I'll tell you, here's my turning point. I told, like, somehow my daughter, when she was young, she's probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 at this time, she found out that I had smoked cigarettes, and it deeply affected her. Like, because, you know, even little kids know that smoking freaking kills you.
Right.
It's terrible for you. They're taught that from a very young age. So when she found out that I smoked cigarettes at one point, at this point I'd given them up, she was, like, distraught, crying the whole nine. So I basically made a I promised her, I said, well, I'm not going to smoke again.
So your favorite kid moved you.
I mean, one of my kids moved me. And so I just, from that point on, I just didn't smoke.
So anyway, real quick.
Yeah.
You, for 10 years, probably, you consume alcohol.
Yes.
You bum a cigarette.
Yes, it was.
So I'm wondering, would you have been tempted? Do you miss it?
Not really.
Because the next morning when I'm doing my cleanup, there were cigarette butts on the deck.
Well, that's
and like those are people.
I mean, that's
well, there
trashy.
Are also some in, you know, the cups.
Okay,
floating around.
You got to dispose of your cigarette butts.
But those are people
properly.
Who probably were like you that maybe don't smoke on the regular, not going to smoke inside, but they're having cocktails, they're having beer, go out to the deck. There was like that smoking crew of just having the puff. Do you miss that?
I don't miss it because honestly, like if you haven't smoked for a while and then you just grab a random cigarette, it just tastes awful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you get used to the taste after a while, but if you haven't smoked in 5 years,
you're done. You're divorced from it.
Yeah,
divorced.
I'm pretty much done.
All right. So I wanted to bring Valdez into the conversation and maybe even Drab because Valdez has always touted himself as the New Year's Eve expert in terms of the coverage out there. And at my party, we didn't even have it on until somebody about 11:40 was like, hey,
this
can you
Matt
put
Valdez.
Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve show on? And I put it on. So that was just like the last 20 minutes. But I saw this headline, Jelly Roll crushed for New Year's Eve performance. So then I start looking at it, and a lot of these stories nowadays are just a viral reaction. He did a Toby Keith tribute. And you just see all of these people attacking Jelly Roll. Here's one. Can we all agree Jelly Roll is a bad singer? Jelly Roll singing a Toby Keith song sounds more like Jimmy Buffett. Turned on cable TV just to hear Jelly Roll massacre a Toby Keith classic.
Oh, no.
All right. You guys apparently were talking about this behind the scenes What was the New Year's Eve coverage, and did you happen to see Jelly Roll?
Yes, and Valdez and I were getting into it. Now, Valdez has always been an Andy and Anderson guy. He always brags he's the third
That's
member
spot,
of the,
yeah.
that duo.
Right.
Like, he loves those guys.
I love New Year's. Yeah. New Year's is awesome. I'm a New Year's aficionado. I bop around between the Dick Clark, the CBS in Nashville, and also Anderson and Andy. But typically, I'm watching Anderson and Andy.
Did you like Kathy Griffin before?
I liked all of the coverage.
Okay.
But here's the
Jenny
thing.
McCarthy, big mark for her.
Yes.
Real ones know that the Nashville New Year pones the other ones. And I don't even like country music.
So that's CBS.
It's CBS.
Yeah, CBS.
I didn't even know that's a thing. That's like
I didn't either.
That's like
it's been going for a while.
Nashville
yeah.
New
yeah,
Year's?
Yeah, yeah, it's been going for a while. But here's why a couple of reasons why it's awesome. First off, it's in Nashville, so it's an hour behind. Like they do a New York version.
Right.
But
You have two New Years.
Yeah,
they do it at midnight and they do it at 1 o'clock.
Hmm. But
I know Cakes isn't watching that one.
No, definitely not.
From midnight to 1 a.m., though, it's awesome because all the other networks have blown their
loss.
Yeah.
Right. And Nashville's just getting warmed up. And it's hit maker after hit maker after. And they just go through them. And there's no. You see ABC is just shilling their products. Anderson and Andy are promoting acid and LSD or whatever crap they're doing on their dumb show. No, you get hits on the Nashville one. It's far better than the other ones. But yes, Jelly Roll was the closer. 5 minutes till midnight in Nashville, he does a tribute on stage live to Toby Keith. And it's saying should have been a cowboy.
Okay.
I thought it was good.
I liked it. I don't know what people were complaining about.
I didn't know what should have been a cowboy the original sounded like. So he could have butchered it a hundred different ways.
You've never heard that
come
song.
On, Kicks. Come on,
I mean, maybe I've heard it. I'm not a big Toby Keith guy.
Here's another comment.
I know Red Solo Cup.
Here's a comment. And I saw Jelly Roll in concert because my sister-in-law is a big fan. And I thought he had a good voice, too. But this person tweets, Jelly Roll would be the seventh best singer at a Baptist church.
That's probably,
I don't know.
That might be true.
Yeah,
I think his big fake teeth get in the way and now.
You know what? Sometimes guys are just entertainers. They don't have to have the greatest voices.
But he's singing live on stage. All these other people.
I'll give him
voice
credit.
Track.
I'll give him credit. At least he's trying to sing live.
Yeah.
Half these people go up and lip sync and they're not singing anything.
He's singing someone else's song too.
So
it's a tribute.
Even if he sounded terrible, I give him credit for at least singing into an open mic.
And this is why the Nashville one is really good, is because all of those country donks own a bar down there.
Right.
Who hosts CBS's show?
Well, Kane Brown was hosting.
Who?
Yeah. He's a country musician.
They have a couple different. Keith Urban, I guess you could almost call him a host. He was up there a lot. They had some chick, I didn't know who she was. The hosts aren't the best, but the stars are.
Isn't Keith Urban Australian? Does he get a lot of street cred with country music people because he's from down under? I don't know.
He's
one of the biggest.
He's a country.
Country
he's a country star.
He's a star.
It's a country star.
Yeah. Do some of the good old boys like raise an eyebrow? Are you from Australia? Yeah.
My mother swoons over Keith Urban. Yeah, she talks about is the one time she touched him in concert.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Keith Urban's doppelganger is Chris Farley.
But
I think they look very similar.
But all of those country donks own bars in Nashville.
Sure.
So what they do is they go to their bar. And like they do a concert there.
Right, right.
Because they're trying to get as many people to pack their bars.
Right.
And CBS just records their performance, and then they show it.
I need to credit Valdez. So at my party, now Scott Clark happened to listen to the segment when we were talking about the party, when I told you, I don't know what to do. It's going to be early arrivals, late arrivals. Like, can I split his performance, 8:30, 10:30? And he actually said he would be willing to go 3 hours. But you said he needs to sing New York, New York after Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah.
He did it, and it was a smash.
Of course it is a smash.
It was a smash. Because like 15 minutes before, we still had – I had put the game on, and I hadn't paid any attention to it. I don't know how many people were even watching that Penn State was winning, right? And then about 15 minutes before midnight, somebody said, hey, midnight's approaching. Can you put Dick Clark on? I was like, dude's dead, but sure. put it on.
Product on.
Put it on. And then, you know, he does the countdown. Everybody there, about 30 people are still there. Start doing 10, 9, and then... boom, he was ready to go. And
10, 9, 8, seven, six.
Did you just
five,
learn that they sing New York, New York at midnight?
Two. Happy New Year.
That's a classic.
No, I knew that. It was the hit was that we had it live,
yeah.
And that I wasn't going to make him do that. I was just going to make him do a set. I paid for him to do a set, and then he's very accommodating, and he was like, "Oh,
well,
I was
a Frank Sinatra imitator."
I know, but he could have just kissed his girlfriend and just hung been, out. He hung out.
It would have been treason for him to not not sing this at 12:01.
It's a must.
It was good.
Yeah, he was great.
So if you had to rate the coverage, you think CBS is now better than ABC and CNN?
Well, CBS has the better music product. I'm a stand for Anderson and Andy.
Those are your guys.
Those are my guys.
They play off each other like Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Yeah, they do the same thing every year where they check in with the wacky man on the street who is dressed up as the Empire State Building. They check in with all the wax figures. Sherry O'Terry comes on and does
and
her
you
shtick.
You do watch a lot of that content. It's your thing. It's basically your
it
Super
is.
Bowl.
It is.
It's
I
your
love
go-to.
It. I get sliced.
And Cakes, did you watch anything? Did you stay up till midnight?
No.
You left my place.
Went home, hung out with the dog for a little bit so she didn't terrorize the house. Went to bed probably at 10:45, 11 p.m.
That's unbelievable.
I don't stay up for the ball drop. What does it matter? What am I, a 5-year-old?
Here, no, but
the ball's dropping.
This is what I said. If next year I might add this to the New Year's Eve party, only to see if Cakes will stay. I'm going to hire like a blackjack dealer or a poker and have a poker table. He'll stay till 2 a.m.
I mean, that might entice me to stay.
Did you have more people stay till midnight this year?
Yeah, it was like 30.
Oh. Because last year, remember, was only like 6 people.
Yeah, it was like 10.
It wrecked me big time. Everybody went home.
Sorry, I'm just not a stay up till midnight guy. I was going to stay up late last night.
I mean,
night.
Why even leave your house if you're just going to, you know, go to bed at 10 o'clock?
I made a silly cameo at JP's party.
I forgot you
got to see the first set.
I did see the first set.
I know,
set.
But if New Year's means nothing to you, why even leave the house in the first place?
I'm just trying to be a normal human being, and when somebody invites me to a party, I'll go.
See a couple friends.
Yeah.
Look, the only reason he went, and I knew this, and it's kind of sad, for 30 years, he's gone to his in-laws' party. But at a certain point, because I had a friend actually just talk about this the other day, we went to lunch, when your parents get older, or your in-laws get older, even if they've been hosting for years, sometimes they don't have the energy to host
anymore.
Yeah,
you're not hosting shindigs
so
till midnight.
When Cakes RSVP'd, I was like, whoa, Cakes is coming? And then in the back of my mind, and I didn't want to be awkward about it, I was like, oh, they're probably too old to host.
You should be lauding me for coming out of my house.
That's the only reason is because the Wartheimer Rocking New Year's is just done.
Yeah, it's on hiatus. Might be done forever.
They're too old.
Yeah, what are you going to do? All right, when we come back, actually not when we come back, Nick Dowd is going to join us at 8:25. When we come back, we're going to tell you the surprising southern state where most Americans move to in 2024. We'll tell you that next, and Nick Dowd from the Caps coming up at 8:25.